Welcome to the Keeping It Young radio program, conversations about marriage, family, and ministry life. I'm Dave.
And I'm Bethley.
And we are the Youngs. Join us today as we conclude part five of our conversations entitled Using Technology Wisely in Your Home. And then here we move. What we're talking about is here, our fourth commitment is we want to protect our family from internet harm.
Right.
So we're going to teach them.
Yes.
And secondly, we're going to protect ourselves and our children. And in TechWise Family, one of the things he said as well was that even those with healthy immune systems wear rubber gloves and hazmat suits when they're dealing with toxic environments.
And we've seen a lot of that on the news, haven't we?
Absolutely.
With the pandemic.
And masks. Yes.
So we're used to hazmat suits and rubber gloves.
So here's what you can think. Some of
I
you
mean,
can
the
think,
Youngs don't wear hazmat suits, just so you know.
That's true. I mean, unless you're telling me something I don't know here.
No, we don't. We do wear masks if they mandate it.
Absolutely.
Okay, go ahead.
So in dealing with the toxic environment, however, we can have a really healthy immune system. But knowing that technology can offer a toxic environment,
yes,
it's just vital that we have protections in place. And,
yes.
And I believe that accountability is always a good thing.
Absolutely.
Your teenager will deny that. Your teenager says, this is my phone, and it's my privacy.
Right.
I can't believe you won't give me my privacy. Well, you don't have to take apart your teenager's life and read every detail of every little text that they're texting to their best friend. That would actually be unwise.
Right.
And probably would drive your teenager. Give them some privacy.
Yes.
But at any given time, you have every right to check the internet history.
Yes.
And you should.
Mm-hmm.
If you have never looked at your teenager's internet history, then I say it gently, but you got some work to do. Because you are not protecting your children from the potential of internet harm.
Right.
And accountability is always a good thing, and there are many apps available today to help make that easy.
Yes.
And so here's a couple of them. Let's list these for our audience.
So we use Covenant Eyes.
That's a big one we've used for a long time.
Yes, and it's well worth it. And it really, I know there can be sometimes that it can block things that are okay, but there are ways around that with the person who owns the account, and so that's no problem. It really is well worth it.
And if you'd like to learn about Covenant Eyes, actually, if you send me a message from our website, I can send you a link. And the link actually is they do some support of our ministry.
Oh, wonderful. And,
that's kind of a new thing. And if you sign up for Covenant Eyes through us, it's not much, but it is a little bit. And it allows us to help us pay for the costs of our podcast.
Awesome. And it can also help your family be accountable.
Absolutely. And so write us if we can help you with that one. There's also Clean Router. That's a Wi-Fi device that we use. Mm-hmm. Everything that people log into Clean Router in our home.
Right.
And it sends an email letting you know what each device is looking at and things of that sort.
Mm-hmm.
A new one that a pastor friend told me about that I've really enjoyed. I'd heard of it, but I've never used it. But we've started using it. It's called Accountable to You. And Accountable to You, I think I'm liking. It's new. I'm checking it out. I'm liking what I see.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just a little, it's more of an accountability, whereas Covenant Eyes has accountability, but also filtering.
Right.
And you can set the filters, you know, like for elementary age or for teenagers.
Right.
You can block different sites or different apps.
Mm-hmm.
I was with a pastor friend of the day who was using MobiSip. Mm-hmm. And the reason we knew he did is because we were discussing a passage in the Bible that had to do with sodomy.
Oh,
and so he went into his phone because he was running a reference to see, how was that translated in a such and such version of the Bible? And when he went to type in that word, MobiSip blocked his search device and wouldn't let him look that word up.
Yeah.
And he said, oh, great. Now I'm going to have to talk to my wife about why I was looking up sodomy.
Well,
so
it is worth a headache, though,
that
people.
Is worth it is. It is. It is. So accountability is a good thing. Filtering is a good thing.
Yes.
And here's a recommendation that we believe, but it was reinforced for us in this book, TechWise Family.
Mm.
And this is important. We should have each other's passwords.
Yes.
And parents have total access to children's devices.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
We should have each other's passwords because if your wife can't log into your phone, that's dangerous.
It is. It is.
If your husband can't log into your phone and read your messages, that's dangerous. Mm-hmm. Something's wrong there.
Yes.
And by the way, if you're a teenager listening, if your parents can't log into your phone and see what you're looking at, it implies that you have something to hide.
Yes.
And normally it's not about privacy. It's about, I don't want somebody to see what's going on.
Right.
And that's true whether you're in a teenager or an adult.
That's a huge red flag. If you have children that are like, no, you can't have my password, or a spouse that No, it's my password. Yeah. Well, it's just a work phone. No, you can't see it. Yeah.
I'm going to say to you guys, if your wife asks for your password and you won't give it to her, you might as well know that she knows that something is wrong.
Yes.
And ladies, the same thing's true. If your husband has asked for access to your phone and you won't give it to him, something is wrong. And you ought to know that.
Yes.
And I will promise you that technology has the power to destroy you and your marriage and your children and your income. It's deadly. So this is not a cute little game. This is a life or death situation.
No, and because technology and the perverseness that can go along with it, not always, obviously, we've already talked about that, but because of the danger that can go along with it, isn't it worth it just to be very open and honest with everything in your life? I think it's just, isn't your marriage worth it? Aren't your children worth it to be open and honest?
Sure. Here's some stats that I came on to, and I thought these were just a little startling. 62% of teens reported having received a nude image on their device, and 40% reported having sent such an image.
That's so sad.
Now, here's what was interesting to me. It's the word reported. If 62% of a survey of teenagers reported it,
were honest enough to say it,
it would make you think it might be higher than that, because there may be some who'd be afraid to report that.
Right.
And if that's true, you think about a youth group of 10 kids, that would mean 6 out of the 4 would fit the statistics.
6 out of the 10.
6 out of the 10.
Yeah. Six plus 4 equals
6
10.
Plus 4, that's right.
I got it. I was tracking you,
not
baby.
Not bad there, baby. Thank you. And so I throw that stat out there just to let you moms and dads know this is a serious matter.
It really is.
And Bethany and I, here's our goal. This is our fourth commitment in our family. We want to protect our family from internet harm.
Yes.
And we only got a few minutes. Let's throw the last one in there and let's close this series.
Okay.
All right. Here's the last one.
The last one is we want to connect with our children on the deepest level possible.
And this is just worth our closing. Technology is such a blessing. Mm-hmm. Having the coffee makers we have, having the cool cars that we have, having GPS on our phones, having FaceTime, and technology is incredible.
We
use VidAngel, and we can watch movies, and we can block anything that we don't prefer or don't like or disagree with.
Mm-hmm.
Technology is amazing, but technology has done one massive damage to our families. Mm. And it's destroyed conversations.
Yes.
And it's not just our families, it's everywhere.
Oh, yes.
And in this book that we've been reading and sharing with you some thoughts from it, he references a book called Reclaiming Conversation, written by Sherry Turkle, in which she makes the case that conversations, meaningful, real conversations, take 7 minutes to really begin. And what she says in that her articles about this, she says that after 7 minutes of small talk, people consider taking a risk and opening their heart.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason she points that out is because her point being in relation to technology is that any interruption during those first 7 minutes destroys the possibility to go deeper.
Mm.
Any interruption.
Right.
Like for instance, she would say, looking at an Apple Watch during a conversation just removed all potential to have a deeper conversation.
Right.
Looking at your text. The only answer in order to have deep conversations is shutting down devices.
Right.
And I thought that was just really an interesting conversation, because everywhere we go, everybody we saw in the restaurant where we had lunch today had a phone at the table.
Yes.
In fact, multiplicity of them were on their phone while they were eating with other people.
Yes.
Which basically, according to this particular author, which means that nobody in that restaurant had meaningful conversations, at least not deep ones. We keep everything very surface level.
Yes.
How are you? And we go back to whatever we were doing on our phone.
Right.
Or a quick question, go back to doing what we were going to do.
Yes.
Bethany and I have 5 children, as you know, and we want to do everything in our power to connect with our children on the deepest level possible. You know, there's some places that are perfect for conversations.
Yes.
For us, the dinner table.
Absolutely.
And we have a rule that you can't have a phone at the table.
Yes.
And we put it aside. And the dinner table has been our place to have deeper conversations.
Yes.
It's one of the places.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a place where, you know, you can be talking and laughing, and the next thing you know, having a very, just out of the blue. It's like, where did that conversation come from?
Right.
Well, it's because the children had the opportunity to ask a deeper question.
Yes.
Or mom or dad had the chance. Mm-hmm. And the next thing you know, we're discussing some big issue.
Yes.
In a very amazing way.
Or just sharing about our day. Mm-hmm. It's very hard to share about your day if you're scrolling Instagram. Sure.
Sharing emotions.
Yes.
And sharing emotions not only from yourself, but with someone else who's also sharing your emotion.
Yes.
And so if you're going to connect with your children on a deeper level, or your spouse on a deeper level, or your best friend on a deeper level, we're making the case that one of the things you have to do is you have to deal with some technology problems.
Yes.
And it's just the way it is. So remember that supper tables are meal times are a wonderful mm-hmm. time to go yes. deeper.
Uh-huh.
Car rides, she said, is another one. That's a really big one.
Mm-hmm.
And how that in days gone by, you'd have huge conversations in the car.
Right.
You'd sing together in the car. You
right.
would sing with the radio. You mm-hmm. would, and technology has destroyed our ability to talk to each other and sing together in the car.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And I remember when before we had internet and everything, remember when we used to have the kids in the car with us, and we had such huge conversations.
Yes.
And with our little ones, they're talking about everything. And yes. it was a wonderful, wonderful thing.
Yes.
And so
sweet.
Give us the last line there, love, and let's wind this up.
Making deeper conversations a part of your life builds a bridge to your kids' trust and opens the door for your kids to reach out for advice and counsel later in life.
The deeper conversations.
Yes.
Opens the door for us to have a lifelong deep relationship with our children.
Yes.
Starts now, mom and dad.
It does.
For you singles, it starts now.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes singles are like, I just don't have any friends. I'm so lonely. Well, it might be because every time you go out to eat with your friends, you're always on the phone together.
Right.
Deeper conversations happen when we're focused only on the person with whom we're having a conversation.
Yes.
And so it's worth our thinking about.
It is.
Well, that's TechWise Family. And we enjoyed evaluating the book. I urge you to get it, urge you to read it.
Absolutely.
We took what we learned in that book and developed these five commitments for our lives.
Right.
And they're just ours. He had 10 in his book. We kind of mirrored a couple of his and others. I know we lived them, but we didn't feel like, you know, we needed to make that a massive written commitment.
Right.
But I urge you, wherever you are in your stage of life, that you will use technology wisely in your home. You've just been listening to Keeping It Young, where we have conversations about marriage, family, and ministry life. Today concluded our series of episodes entitled Using Technology Wisely in Your Home. Bethany and I hope this has certainly been a help and encouragement to you and your family. Next time, we want to talk to you about our favorite filter, our favorite internet filter, that is, entitled Covenant Eyes. We hope you'll join us for that special conversation.
For more information or to hear more Keeping It Young, go to tilradio.org or KeepingItYoungPodcast.com. This has been a co-production with Keeping It Young and TIO Radio Network.